when you are going to be making this loan to the person. Now, many of these laws are going to be learned out from the laws of tzedakah, from tzedakah over to loans. So let's begin with Perek Shishi. Says the Chafetz Chaim, b'perek ze yevoar, od inyanim midin kedima. We will have more laws in the din kedima. And it has 14 se'ifim. Again, we're going to try hard. Last time we did at the end of chapter 5, just reminding us that we had the what appears to be controversial statement of men versus women, and the value of men and women. I tried very hard to try to explain this halacha in a way that is not chas v'shalom making women second-class citizens or anything like that. Each one has his place or her place, at the right time. They have their kedima, and that is halacha midoraita. Now, let's continue. Aleph. Many of these laws are repetitious from things we've done over the years, over the months, but there are going to be obviously chidushim here that everybody needs to know. Im bo ani ve'ashir lelavot metzlo. If comes an ani and an ashir, a poor man and a rich man to you in order to borrow, ve'ani gam kein batuach etzlo. You have to have that the ani is also someone you trust. He's got to be able to pay you back, okay? And remember, I just want to bring this up again because it's something that just happened to me very recently that someone said, well, he's poor, he's not reliable, this person. He's not a reliable person because he's poor. And we already know that the Chafetz Chaim spoke very harshly against that and said that that is false. A poor person does not mean he is not trustworthy when to pay back the money. There are many rich people who don't pay back money and many poor people who stand by their word and pay. The fact that they're rich or poor is irrelevant to the analysis. Remember those words. What we're talking about, that the poor person is batuach etzlo, that you trust him, meaning to say he's not a shyster. He doesn't have a lot of outstanding loans that he doesn't pay back and leaving a long list of people running after him. But that could also be with a rich man, okay? So if they're both equal in their guarantee, in their trustworthiness, oh, shenote lo mashkon. Once the ani gives you collateral, a mashkon to hold on to, game's over. You have to trust him as much as Bill Gates because you've got his collateral, which is worth the amount of the loan. So there's no way you can say that I don't trust him anymore. Okay? So even though if he's a shyster, but he gives you his collateral that has value, it doesn't make a difference. You have to give him the money first because he's poor. You have to make a choice. You only have $100 and they both need the $100. Ha'ani kodem, you give it to the poor person first, because we have a pasuk that says, im kesef talve es ami es ha'ani imach. If, now im, this im, as we know, is a chol, even though it says if, but it means when. When you have to lend money, it's going to be to a person of our nation, the ani with you. The ani comes first. Now, we know, let's continue before we go downstairs. Ve'amru chachameinu zichrona levracha, ani ve'ashir, ani kodem. An ashir also has a mitzvah d'oraita, an ashir, a rich man. You also have a mitzvah d'oraisa to lend him money. The Chafetz Chaim downstairs in Gimel has a very long shiur downstairs, going back and forth. I'm going to give you his conclusion because although it's amazing, it's a beautiful Gemara shiur what he's doing down here, but I don't think I can make it fit into the category of Musar. But let's go to the part that is Musar. He's basically saying here that by a rich man, who needs a loan, who asks you for a loan, you have a mitzvah ba'alma, as the language that the Chafetz Chaim uses. You have a mitzvah kiyumis, that you can mekayim, not an obligation. You don't have an obligation to lend to the rich man. But by the poor man, you have an absolute obligation, a mitzvah's aseh, like shaking a lulav, kriya shema, it's in the category of mitzvah's aseh. That's what he learns. However, he qualifies that after his long back and forth and explains that by a rich man who is in desperate need of money now, he's got to marry off. I see my son just came in to the Zoom. He has to marry off his son, and he's rich, but he needs cash for 2 weeks. He needs it. He's got to get the wedding. He's stuck right now. Then, in that case, when the rich man is in need because he's stuck temporarily, then he also has a mitzvah aseh midoraisa to lend him the money. You understand? So he's saying an ushir stam who needs to borrow money to go to buy something in the store, whatever, nothing, emergency. Then you have a mitzvah daraita, like let's say eating matzah during the 7 days of Pesach. That's it. You have a mitzvah according to the Gra. You makayim a mitzvah every gezais you eat. So too, you have a mitzvah every time you lend to the regular rich man. You have a chiyuv to lend money to an ani, like the first night of Pesach matzah. It's a chiyuv on everybody. And a rich man who is temporarily stuck and desperately needs money, like his son is getting married, something like that, he has to pay off his mortgage, who knows what's going on, and needs it temporarily till he gets his assets. You have a mitzvah d'oraisa also, chiyuv. Chiyuv d'oraisa. That's the Chafetz Chaim's pshara from the whole sugya. Okay, we've done this before. He did it all over again here. Now, with that, in the normal case, now we're going to go even in a situation when the rich man has the severe need because he's stuck versus the poor man wins because he's the one listed in the pasuk. It could be that the rich man that needs the money desperately now for a temporary time has a chiyuv d'oraisa. You have a chiyuv d'oraisa to lend him like matzah first night. But the ani comes first. Why? Because he's written explicitly in the pasuk. Everybody see that? He's written explicitly in the pasuk, and therefore he has the din kadima. That is what we learn here. This is by laws of tzedakah and by laws of loan. But let's just focus on the laws of lending money now, because we'll get to tzedakah later in this book. Okay? Now we go to another case. We're still in Aleph. Aleph says, one second, I just want to see if we have another one. Another thing downstairs that I left out. No, we're good. I covered everything. In the middle of Aleph, we continue now. V'afilu ima asher hu me'iro. Even if the rich man is in your neighborhood, he's one of the people of your residence, he lives in your city. Oh, gam ken krovo, and he's also your relative. You're wondering, why do your people who live in the same city as you, whether it's New York, Yerushalayim, whatever the city is, why should that make a difference? We're going to see in a minute. But right now, even if the rich man has two qualities, he's a rich uncle who lives in your neighborhood, v'ha'ani, and the poor guy is not your relative, and he lives in another city. He lives in Be'er Sheva, let's say. Who knows what he is, this ani? He called you from Be'er Sheva, you don't know him at all, versus your brother, who lives in the same city as you and is rich, the poor person wins. Okay? Poor person wins. Gam kein ha'ani hu kodem. Now, we're going to see in Halacha Beis what is this idea of a relative or a person who lives in your city. What is their din priority? We'll see that in a minute. V'im shneim aniim. What happens if your brother's poor? Right? No brother here. Two guys are poor now. We just finished the rich man. Rich man will always lose to a poor man, always, even if the rich man is your brother or your father, and even if the rich man is a neighbor of yours. Your neighbor and your father, poor man wins, period. That's the law number one. Poor wins always. Even if the rich man is temporarily poor, and now he has a mitzvah zaseh, as we said, still the poor man wins. That is the halacha, first law. Next law, v'im shneim aniyim. What happens if you have two poor people in front of you who are alone and you can only give one? What do you do? V'echad mahem tzarich hama'ot lemazon. One guy needs you to help him pay off so he can go to the supermarket and buy food. And the other one wants to borrow money to buy clothes. He wants to go to whatever, some clothing store to buy clothes. So, and they're both poor. Nobody's living large here. The other guy has no clothes to wear. Yelav el mishu tzarech lamazon. The person who needs the money in order to go buy food, you lend him the money. You have to ask him this question. You understand? When you're now lending money, you have to ask the guy. He doesn't have to answer you and tell you what he's doing. But if you want to do the mitzvah right, you're going to have to do the uncomfortable question of asking him, excuse me, what is the purpose of this loan that I'm lending you? Why do you need it? It's an uncomfortable question, but you see, you have to ask it. Why? The guy who's buying food is in more severe straits, very logical, common sense, and therefore he gets priority over the other poor man who needs to buy a new pants. He has a pair of pants that have a hole in it or something. These are also all in bad shape, okay? Let's continue now in halacha beis so that we can understand halacha aleph a little bit better. What happens if you have two aniyim in front of you? V'hu krovo o me'iro. You have one ani who is a relative of yours, or he lives in your city, versus another ani who's not a relative, or he's not a city resident. He's from far away, but they're both equally poor. Who wins? The karov or the neighbor. Who kodem? Diksiv es ha'ani imach. You see the second word, imach, with you. So the Gemara darshins the word imach in one of two ways. Imach is either with you, is your DNA, your blood relative, your blood. Or imach is he's with you, he lives in your city. There are two pshatim in the Gemara, okay? Two reads. Therefore, that guy who has one of those tiebreakers, he has an extra imach with you, he's going to beat the other poor guy, okay, who doesn't have that. Even if, I would say, even if you don't like your neighbor, people usually hate their neighbors. It's unfortunate. But you see that there's something about the guys who live with you in your city that they're going to get some level of closeness that makes it that you're obliged midaraisa to give this guy the loan, even though he's your neighbor and you don't like him and whatever. He's not someone you like. And then the guy who lives in New York or whatever, and you love Johannesburg and you love the guy, you want to help him. The guy who lives in Yerushalayim wins. Think about it. It's another way to relate to what it means to be living in the same city as somebody. That means there's a connection between you that you have to, similar to a relative, that you must give them the money first. You understand what we're saying here? We're not playing around here, okay? Your best friend versus your guy who lives down the block. Your best friend loses. Loses, even though you love him. Nobody cares. That's love is cheap. This is real. Okay? Think about these things that we're saying now to read for a little from Musar, some Musar here. How we relate to our friends and our family. Umishu krovo. A person who's your relative, Omeiro, who nikra imach umitzvah lahakdimo. Anybody who is your relative or lives in your city, he gets an extra mitzvah. Ein biyordea, simin, reish nun aleph, sif gimel. This is also the halacha regarding neighbors. Look at this. Now it gets even more exciting. What about the shchenav, the guy who lives in your building, the guy who lives across the street? Not us. We have Armenians. The guy who lives in your building, mamish. He's closer to you than people who live out in your city because he's closer. He's your mamish, your neighbor, shachen. You have to give him first, even though you have problems with him and he's difficult, he makes noise, he yells at you for making noise, whatever your neighbor is who gives you a headache all the time, he comes first. Think about this. He's more imach than you think. You are one, even though you can't stand him. Start standing him. Let's continue. Vaniye Iro, this is really not so important for us. Who is considered a person from your city? Hakol Sheshah Hasham Shnei Masar Chodesh, a guy who's lived in your neighborhood, in your city for 12 months. But if he bought in Kanabab Beis Dira, if he bought an apartment, then automatically he gains residency as a status. So let's assume you buy an apartment, I don't know where, in Beit Vegan. The second you buy the place, you already have residency there, assuming you're going to live there, of course. Okay? Oshedaito lishtakesham. Even if you're a renter, but you know you're going to be living here. If that guy's been living here, now that's considered, all those people are in that neighborhood are considered your ear, your city. So this is a very, very, he's proving all of this from Gemaras. Fascinating the way he's learning the Gemaras, if you look at it. And maybe one day we'll learn it together. But he's definitely learning here a very important point that I think all of us have to take seriously, very seriously. We live, let's say, in the Rova, right? Forget the Armenians right now and the Arabs and all those people. But all the other people that you don't like, you do not like them because they are, who knows what, old people, nasty people, activists, anti-this, anti-that. They're always causing trouble. They get priority over people that live far away from you. Your community is a powerful, powerful thing. I think many, many people in Israel probably suffer from this more than, let's say, people in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, community is a very powerful thing, okay? Very powerful. People in the neighborhood are all connected through the shul, and there's a whole community together in South Africa and New York. For sure, those places I know are very powerfully driven by community, and they understand very well what it means to take care of their community. In Israel, these lines are very blurry. Communities are very blurry. You know what I'm saying? Usually your yeshiva or your whatever, your political affiliation or whatever, that these things change your community and your connections. And I think that it's important for us to understand that even though that's what looks like what's going on now in Israel, that doesn't change the halacha. Nobody cares if the guy, what kind of yarmulke he wears in your neighborhood as to how you're going to determine whether he gets your loan or not. You understand what I'm saying? The bottom line is these are principles that I think are very foreign to us here in our day and age, especially people who live in Eretz Yisrael, especially now. But I think we have to really consider these points very well, even though we're going to see in a little while that there are poskim who hold that the aniyim in Yerushalayim may take priority even over the aniyim of your location. So if you live in, let's say, Johannesburg or great neck, I don't know what, and you have aniyim in Israel, there are some poskim who hold that the aniyim of Israel take priority even over the aniyim of your neighborhood in great neck or wherever. But that's not going to be brought here in the Chafetz Chaim right now. He's not going to make that take that stand. Okay? Now, let's see. Yeah, I think we're going to stop here today. We've done 20 minutes. It's already oozing into second, the Gemara Seder. Does anybody have any questions before I stop and we'll continue? Anybody? I see someone's hand moving in the back over there.
Can
you hear me? Yes,
can the rabbi hear me?
If you scream, I can hear you.
Have you ever
heard a definition of what
the
difference between
ani and
asher
is? Or if it's a relative, because
they're here.
Or if two people, one of them is richer than the other, then it's called ani and asher.
No, ani and asher is, one person is, what defines an ani, you're asking? Well, I believe we did that. Didn't we do that in the first chapter of the book? One second. Does anybody have an answer to Yaakov Schoenzeit's question?
Isn't it Mazon so Shalosh Sudot?
I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to get back to you regarding that question. I'll try to find it for us. I think we already did it.
I'm not sure about the topic, huh?
There's no way I'm going to understand what you're saying, Rabbi Michael.
It's self-sustaining.
You're going to have to talk, have Rabbi Leventhal translate. I don't understand. I'm sorry.
Rabbi Michael is asking, maybe the definition on the is someone has to go asking for tzedakah. We need to rely on the tzibur to farnes him.
That's the simple understanding. Simple understanding. But it's usually, we know that it's not necessarily true what Rabbi Michael's saying. That is definitely a definition of a poor person, someone who's supported by tzedakah. But we have an ani who's also not supported by tzedakah. And now we want to make a loan to him to avoid him falling into the category of someone who has to go begging door to door, and therefore you have a double mitzvah of hechzaktabo to mechazek the guy so he doesn't fall to have to beg door to door. So an ani is not just someone who is already begging. An ani is also someone who is barely making their bills. I would say maybe the definition, I thought we already saw this here. If we didn't, I'm just going to double check it for tomorrow. What is the actual cutting definition of an ani? I think I remember it's someone who does not cover his expenses monthly and is just, you know, barely on the edge of every month. He's in overdraft a little. He's got to cover his expenses. He's juggling just to make it every day, every month. And sometimes he falls short. I think that's the definition of an ani for the Chafetz Chaim, but I'm going to double check it. But Daryl Michael's definition is for sure true. The guy who's collecting handouts, but that's not the only definition of an ani. That is a severe case of a poor person, okay?
I have a question.
Please.
It comes out from the Chafetz Chaim that even an ani who has, who has a great need for money.
An usher
who has a great need for money, the ani still wins.
Right.
So when are we ever lending money to an usher?
You can always lend money to an usher. It's only in a place where the two guys come simultaneously. They both come to you simultaneously, and you only have enough to lend one. But if you get a guy who, let's say, the rich guy needs money to cover the mortgage, I don't know what, something right now and his bank account's closed for a few weeks and he needs to get the credit card back, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to lend him. Even you have a chiyuv.
I know there's a money that needs that money. The fact the usher is asking me makes him first because he's asking.
Again, sorry.
if I have money that I could lend to somebody, and the usher comes and asks for it, then my fee was to give to him, and even though I know there's an ani somewhere around here that I could give that
money. Yeah, if they don't come to you, you're not obligated to go hunting for people to give loans to. To do research. That's not the chiyuv d'oraisa. The chiyuv d'oraisa comes when they knock on your door, okay? Or he calls you on the phone. You know what I'm saying? He says, I'm on my way. I'm coming. Before that time, you do not have to contemplate whether or not there are people who may ask you for a loan. You do not, okay? There are always aniyim in the world, and there are always people who need loans, but they don't necessarily know me. I don't know them. I don't know where they're coming. If I want to start a gemach, etc., then I may have applications coming in, etc. Then your question, the odds of being able to give to a rich man who's stuck, if you have an organization, let's say, that it has applications. So, of course, all the aniyim come first before this guy. And he loses, just like we're learning here. Clear, okay? But standing, you don't have to look for the ani. If the usher who's stuck is in your office, he gets the loan, and not just that he gets the loan, it's a chiyuv for you to give him the loan. You now must give him the loan if you have it. You must. There's no options here. You understand? It's not, well, if you feel like it, if you're in a good mood. Nobody cares if you're in a good mood when it comes to saying Kriya Shema or shaking your lulav. If you're in a bad mood, you got to shake the lulav. Same thing here. You don't want to give the money, you got to give the money. Okay? Hope it's clear. We'll continue here with Gimel, and I'll just double check the question that Yaakov Schoenzeit asked to make sure that that's the right definition, okay, of what a poor person is, okay? But we'll see. Everybody have a good day. Batzlacha. My shir, again, is going to be going into the Korban Nisanel, Be'iyun. We're going to try to learn two pshatim in the Korban Nisanel. You heard my pshat yesterday, the Kasha, and we're going to try now to go. I saw Rav Nissen Kaplan has a piece over here in this book. I'm going to try to get this photocopied or something. Someone come to my office who knows how to do this, and I'll get it for this year. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day. Call to.